Okay, Katie, back to your sober analysis of this and that.
Don't worry, honey. We're going to juice it up a little bit. You don't have to worry.
Yeah. Okay, I won't worry. So,
far too serious with all this.
Yeah, you see, what's great about Katie, she's offering herself as a sacrificial victim because she's got all the traditional mortar concepts of the Thompson Quadrant. And she's finds it very interesting. McLuhan's writing about it in a new way, but she has to work
William
on her.
William Irwin Thompson, the Thompson Quadrant, just so everybody that doesn't know, so they can
catch it. So this is new stuff for Katie and Ginny and everybody who's listening, if they are listening.
It'll be over soon. Don't worry. It'll be okay.
Acting out the assumption.
You get to the ruse. You'll get to the ruse, and there'll be murders. Don't worry.
The queen's trying to kill us all.
Yes, the queen. Okay, Katie. So that's how I perceive your interest in this, right? You're working your way through and past Marianne Williamson stuff.
Oh, I left her in the dust months ago. But yeah.
But only months ago, not a year ago.
Only months ago. No, just months ago. Oh, yeah, I know how long it's been since I was a know-nothing.
You were a mystic, the old sense. You were a mystic. I don't even know if you were a mystic. What were you in a year or two ago?
Just your basic New Age chick, pretty much.
Trying to help everybody get along.
Yeah, and so full of shit. Couldn't even get along in my own life. trying to tell everybody else how to do it.
That's right. I want to become new Marianne Williamson. So what's the next quote you want to do?
Oh, well, I wasn't gonna go back to the essay yet. What I'm wondering is why is the secret so watered down? Like, when did it happen?
Because it's obsolete. It's obsolete. It's book culture.
One second. Let me ask one thing. So, but that's why I set all this up with asking you if Marshall knew he was God and was that what he was going for. Like, there have been people before who've...
Right.
Like,
and they had simpler media environments.
Completely taken... Like, the secret doesn't have anything... None of it's true. Like, it's not even a watered-down
version. Right, it's an effect of the printing press. It's an effect of the printing press.
Okay, so
and
what else do you want to say about that?
We had to have that. We had to lay that out so that you could embrace it. Everything is obsolete through your four laws. You run your four laws on that little exegesis, honey, and you got your answer to your question. You had to move past that just being a creator. We don't care that you're a creator. Secret. All you have to say is secret. That's why they made such great fun of it on Saturday Night Live. Secret. That's all you have to say. It's a secret. It's a secret. Lots of great. It's a secret. That's all you have to do. Well, that's why it's so ridiculous. It's absolutely, morbidly ridiculous.
But the reason it becomes a viral fad, though, is that people in the West require the book meme. They need a book to look at. That's their religion. That's their techno-fundamentalism. And the New Age, or Harry Cooper, whatever his name is, Potter, these are a retrieval of the book experience with some simple stuff. Look at the Da Vinci books, very badly written from traditional, artistic writerly genius, but they serve a meme of retrieval for the eyeball, for those that require the eyeball. Mm-hmm. They're not on the road singing to people like the rock groups and the big groups, and the rappers. Mm-hmm. They're not using modern media, and they don't feel part of that, so they find visual space in focus on one book. That also explains why American culture in general went religious and fundamentalist. They retrieved their main medium, the book, and said the Bible is the most important book, and millions of people who were not religious when they were young, not religious 50 years ago, suddenly became religious. They were businessmen and all kinds of secular people suddenly went nuts about visual space as an archetypal retrieval.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ariane, a couple of weeks ago you said, I'm not quoting you, but something about how you didn't have any sense of urgency reaching out to us, but how we, humanity, had more of a sense of urgency for you. Did you say something like that?
Yes, we say lots of things.
I know you do. In a different
way. Ian can create now. He makes as much verbal garbage as we do now.
More so now.
Okay.
Because you all have And when you embrace it, then you make it a meme, then you obsolesce it, then you see what the technology obsolesces. Then you run it through and you say, well, this is good, this is better. Then I take it all the way to the far end and it destroys the planet. Oh, back it up just a little bit. This is the part that'll kill me. Take that back just a little bit. That's the maximum daily dose. Give me that. I'll take two with my dirty martini.
Mm-hmm. Nice one. Nice. Very nice.
So, nice. Mm-hmm. And you run this. Mm-hmm. Do this. Do what he said. I mean, you got all the catchwords, honey. You got the sweet by and by now. Apply it to the dirty here and now. Or forget it forever.
Mm-hmm. And the dirty here and now is an extended, the amplified nowness of now. Because the electric environment expands the details of the nowness.
Yeah, because see, here we've come to the place. We've come to the conclusion. You're either God or you're not. If you're God, come on, let's go. If you're not, forget it. Move on. It'll be over soon. Don't worry about it. Do not panic. It's that old cobalt. You want some cobalt? Here it is. Okay, we'll take you up to Fortran. If this is true, yes. If it's not true, then go back to the start. Okay, keep going. We'll see you in
cobalt
the Valley of the
Keys. Cobalt and Fortran. Early computer languages.
Computer languages. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'll see you early in the Valley of the Kings.
Well, okay. It seems
it's
like
simple.
That is...
Now, we're making this clear, but we're trying to make the point, and the point very simply is, get on with it or not. Either way, get happy or get out.
And you have to say both sides of the issue if you're speaking wisdom, because speaking wisdom is pretty obsolete. It's stuck in the mortar world and an old mortar world. Make a video. Ion even made videos. You know, you got to make a video to speak to the later generations.
You can speak, but that's not having anything to say.
Right. And when I read the Baudrillard later, he talks about how realities become an illusion.
mm-hmm. Allegory.
Reality becomes an illusion. That's did you say aleatory?
allegory,
right. No, aleatory would have been cool, but the chemical body and its dynamics, especially its print dynamics, are so obsolete, they're an illusion now. So when Baudrillard talks about reality being an illusion, he's talking about the chemical body and maybe even the TV body now. And I'll read some fantastic quotes. He's pretty good at describing the present, if you know the body part, the five bodies. Otherwise, you get lost in literate concepts about reality and illusion. But that's what...
The constraint. See, the problem is you lose it in the constraint. If there's no base, if there's no border, if there's no end, then you would have never discovered America.
Right.
If they hadn't have been the thrill of falling off the edge of the earth, you'd have never found the new world.
Mm.
And notice, they find America...
Now, hold on. That's right. That occurred. Now, here's where you are. That was then. Now you are also going to other worlds, and you're now embracing that for the very first time, some of you. And you think,
the world
is round. What? It's a spiraling globe? No, come on. What the fuck? No way. No way, man. No way. It's crazy. There are other worlds? What? Oh, it can't be other worlds. The same thing. And then all of a sudden you go there and you do it and you figure it out. And then you go, oh, hell's bells. That's World 237. Everybody knows that. That's where they do really kinky shit.
Right. So I would add that the people would travel around the world before Columbus. But when you had the printing press that exaggerated visual lines and boundaries in the vanishing point of the horizon, that's when they discovered the limits of visual space and found America. Now we're in a new world that disperses geography, where now the Pacific Ocean is bigger than what the Hubble telescope can see. See, it's a different level of visuality today under electric conditions. But
and it'll happen autonomically. It'll happen. Just like when you're coming along and you're going through puberty, and then all of a sudden you have your first orgasm. Who said you were having an orgasm? How did you know you had an orgasm? How did you know to have another one? How'd you wake up one day and say, this is the difference in that? Oh, I'm a little wet. I'm a little damp. No, wait. There's a difference. There's a difference. Ah. Then you achieve that. Then all of a sudden it's like old hat. But at what stage do you say, okay, this is pre-orgasmic and this is post-orgasmic, that you come to that relative conclusion? What bias?
That question would fascinate. That question would fascinate literally biased people about what stage, but the electronic heebie-jeebie doesn't care about those distinctions. Just as when's my next orgasm.
But that everybody wants to come, but how do you know you came?
That's right. It gets weirder under five body conditions.
Well, because then it, sometimes the chase, sometimes like, men folks, they just want to chase beautiful women, but they don't know what to do when they catch them.
Right. Because they're responding to the iconic TV body, to the Playboy image. They're chasing the photograph. They don't fuck a photograph, but they want to get the photograph.
No, actually, they just want the Asa Candler said that this is what a beautiful woman should look like, a Coca-Cola bottle.
Yeah. Who said that? The Ace of Cantor? What was that?
Asa Candler.
Oh, okay. Right.
The inventor of Coca-Cola.
Right, right. He made the female form in the bottle.
Yeah.
And that was before the famous guy they say started propaganda. What's his name, you know? Everybody knows about him. He worked for Freud and then the Rockefellers.
Bernays?
Something like Bernays.
Freud's nephew. Bernays, maybe.
Yeah, Bernays, right, right.
Yeah.
Well, the Coke
we
guy beat him to it.
We love Bernays, but now, you know, a good Hollandaise is good, but a nice Bernays is amazing. A little bit of mint, just a tiny little bit of mint to finish it off. Not too heavy now. And nutmeg, if you ever want to have the right, have a touch of nutmeg, not too much, just a little bit.
Never
know that it's nutmeg, and it will be orgasmic. Honey, you want to bust a nut, you get that Bernays just right. Make a nice beurre blanc. Ooh, we have found Jesus a number of times in a good beurre blanc. You have no idea. It is beyond orgasm.
Okay, back to Katie Ion.
Okay,
Katie.
I like hearing about all the sauces, though. I like sauce. Hollandaise,
yeah.
Too.
Now, watch your mouth. You may be too little close to your mic. You're slightly blurring.
Okay,
he says that about everybody, but yes, you are a little blurry, but he says that about everybody, so don't worry.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about...
He's sitting next to him and he's himself, so it's okay.
Okay. About the difference between being a manifestor and being a creator. And I actually sat before the call tonight and I watched The Secret movie. I just sat there for an hour and a half and watched it because it's been years since I've seen it to see what it said.
Yeah.
And when we were talking about this last time.
Doesn't Esther Hicks look funny in it? And you look at her now and compare it. Esther Hicks looks very funny there, doesn't she?
Actually, she wasn't in the movie. She was
no. Her life's work was taken out of The Secret. You don't mean it.
Yes. You're kidding now. You knew that.
No, it was. You've seen the second version. It was taken out. She had to be taken out.
Yeah, it was taken out.
Yeah.
But when we talked about this last time, Greg gave the wonderful example of how when his father was dying and they were wanting to call in Kevorkian and remove him from the machines, 12 hours later the hospital called and asked him, did he want to unplug his father? That's the example that he gave of being a god. And I agree. However, a person who's manifesting could have just as easily said, I manifested that.
They did. Hold on. A creator manifests, but a manifester is not a creator.
Right.
Okay.
That's the only difference. If you're God, and Queen Victoria, the best one ever, she got famous and was a pretty famous queen. Anything going on in her realm that she didn't like, she'd say, not in my realm. And guess what? It was not. It was not in her realm, not in her world. It was her world, and the sun never set on her kingdom. And so, let it be written.
So what? She was creating. She wasn't manifesting power.
She was not manifesting. That's right. She had to deal with what was. A creator has to deal with what is. A manifester gets to make it up as they go.
And to wait, which is visual bias, waiting for the horizon to show up to you.
A creator creates. A manifester must wait for validation.
Yeah, waiting for time and all those visual concepts.
Interplay. You got to see if you were God enough to do it. We got to. Pharaoh, look at Moses. And Pharaoh, my God's bigger than your God. My goober's bigger than your goober. My snake's bigger than your snake. My God is more superior. My power is more than yours. That's why you'd have a segregation between to manifest, to be made manifest. Look up the definition of manifest. Find it as a bill of lading.
Yeah, the law of attraction is not creation. That's manifestation. Yeah. That's visually biased. Whereas the unlawful degree of magnetism.
Manifester is a bill of lading. Creation is, go ahead, Bob.
Unlawful degree of magnetism.
That's exactly correct. Because they don't attract, they repel, so that the poles are the furthest apart. That's why when you want something, you can't get it, because you want it. And when you
you're
got
repelling
something,
it.
You can have all you want.
Right. When you want something, you're repelling it.
That's why the women who have a man can have all the men they want. The women who can't get a man can't find one in 100 light years, no matter what they look like.
Right.
People who got money get more money. Take my money away from me. It's okay. We get more. We're going to rip you. We're going to take it all away. Okay, here. I wasn't using it. Yeah. Because they know you're going to get more. And more than they had. Take it. It's just in the way. Make room. Now, that's where the Esther Hicks version is the flow. There's nothing wrong with the flow, but you got to jump in somewhere. And there's your trouble. And then you're in an oarless boat going down a moving stream to all your realized creations and blah, 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 blah. Okay, congratulations. Good. If that's the level you start at, good. As long as you don't get stuck in that boat, then you're only going to go where the stream will take you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in that world, you can only arrive at the places that the stream takes you. If you're God, you get to say where you go or where your stream. You direct your stream.
Let me add this. The guff is visual space. It's the box. It's a container. Electric environment beginning with telegraph starts to x-ray through and dismantle the guff. And so that's a big container of manifestations. The Akashic Records was
permeate,
the old
permeate,
metaphor.
Permeates it. Living in a cardboard box.
And so it's natural. The Rai, the original separate, the box disappears into the electronic digital oscillations. And so we're in a time of nothing but creativity. And manifestation is nostalgia for the literary view and retrieving the guff metaphor or the idea of manifesting unrealized creations. All that is visual space. And technically, this is what McClure understood. Oh, you got it. She got it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was mind-blowing.
So fun. We'll have fun till Daddy takes the T-Bird away. TTFN.
Okay.
Yeah, media ecology would take away the T-Bird from the kids. If McClure was in charge, he would have eliminate a few of the technologies, at least for a few years, so people could calm down. But that was just trying to look rational.
What's the secret and extension of? That's
visual
specific space
and the Ark, the Ark of the Covenant. See, all that stuff is part of the box. I'm not a god. I got to find out where the gods were and where did I ask to project to find out the god region. You see this in the Emerald Tablets. And then I stick it to me, and then I'm a god. Not recognizing you already are all those points. But you're perceptually screwed up. And you think you have to go somewhere. It's over the horizon, a rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
Which story is that, Alice in Wonderland or the other one?
Wizard of Oz.
Brick Road. Yeah, Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of
Oz, the Wizard of the Guff. It's very interesting. There still is a gap, and you still can go there and transition, but our concepts in the secular body are all mixed up with these media-generated scenarios, and that's what we're trying to see through. It helps see through why you got a big insight there because it obsolesces the concept of the guff, at least in your linguistic part of your mind, right? And that helps you get free of the guff.
Right. Now, Bob, you said a couple of weeks ago that the secret actually created a whole lot more debt. Remember when you said that? You were talking to somebody in the wee hours.
The book, The Secret, created debt?
Yeah, the people practicing The Secret, it created a bunch more debt.
Yeah.
Say more about that.
Well, that's actually, since they say, so many people think they've mastered and understood the Illuminati's money economy and that, it was always built on debt. They call it fractional banking and all that stuff.
Right.
You see many YouTubes on that in the Alex Jones world. Well, that's only a product of visual space. When you get into tactile electric space, since the guaranteed income of welfare in the 30s, then people have money anyways, And debt is the visual man's bias. He thinks that we're creating debt. That's why the liberals say there is no debt. And the Republicans trying to retrieve visual space, trying to make a big morality out of the debt. They want to bring in a visual marker and measure who's working and who isn't. All that debt talk is basically a concept of American reality that's not accurate. You know, Goldman Sachs and the Kissingers know we're not a debt-based economy, but the American people understand visual space as getting and losing. That's debt. So, yes, if you have an idea of an elite hierarchical control of the money economy and they're secret and they're conspiring against you, you will keep the debt thing going. And that's why James and I were able to crash the debt myth by having an extreme crash, because my concepts expelled and x-rayed exactly the bias that Americans were living under. I said the words accurately, like I'm doing now, explaining the mortar around the economy, which are, illusions.
Right. The secret is as popular as ever.
Right, because it's hoiking up the American archetype that somebody, some individual or a little clique is in charge and I'm being programmed by them. That's what the visually biased person is, passive and is a robot.
I'm talking about like the Church of Oprah, basically. Aren't people starting to realize that it's not working?
Yes, Ian says people are realizing it. There's millions who don't watch Oprah, don't take it seriously. They'll read The Onion and get a satirical view of the mortar world, of the android meme. But the
I think a lot of people who read The Onion love Oprah too.
Now you got another dynamic. You got people coming from third world cultures who joined the visual empires, the visually biased industrial European empires, were suppressed. And they're just showing up to get what the visual empires denied them. They want to relive the visual bias. That's what immigrants are here for. And they're the ones who say, oh, there's a black woman running the show. That's better than a white man. White man suppresses. Okay. So you have that tribal meme of the third world cultures propping up America. The WASPs aren't. The Katies and Ginnies, the little WASP girls aren't into that anymore.
And one thing about the Oprah attraction is people will go to the show, go try to be in the show and publish, so they'll win something. So it's got nothing to do with them wanting to shift or change or ascend, nothing. They just...
an employer.
Yeah, they just want to be given something free. So that's how she attracts them on a certain level.
What do you get free on Oprah?
Oh, she's always giving away gifts.
Oh, I see.
To the audience.
Never seen the show. See, I've survived. I've never listened to the show. I never saw it. I know nothing about it.
I don't think it's even on anymore, though, is it?
Yeah, she's still
her own network. Yeah, she has her own network.
That replays her shows, right?
No, she has all sorts of new shows and masterclass shows where she has all the new age.
Oh, she's still making TV shows. Mm-hmm. She's still making, but they're specials. She's not on a robot routine of doing something every day. She just gets to do it when she feels like it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's a bit of slack. And she certainly knows about us. I mean, we're waiting for that to be revealed.
Wow. And she's just doing a 21-day meditation right now that she just finished up with Deepak.
Yeah. You can't market Iandom unless you have the products. But we ain't allowing the shareholders to come into the product. So Oprah got to run on the old memes. That's all they got. While we provide the real goods.
Mm-hmm.
She's just doing a holy path to replay, which is what Ian accuses me of doing, just replaying the old patterns of insight. I'm an Oprah for this world here. I'm the Oprah of Iandom. I remind people of where we came from. Let's go back over the old insights. And it has a role, it's a very important role, but we're not limited to it.
Let me add something in here, Bob.
Okay.
The secret, it's like a formula you have to qualify for. Do this, do that, do this, do that, and you get your manifestation. Whereas my experience in creation, it's almost easier to describe it as a no thing.
Yeah.
You know, okay, let's give it a word. Well, you have an intention. And then what? Well, you stop kneading the dough, you relax and allow, and those certainly aren't formulas. Those certainly aren't procedures. You're not certainly qualifying. So to me, the secret, or, you know, the masters of the manifestation books that were out years and years and years ago, it was all you had to qualify. And I think Ion's message has always been, well, there is no qualification for you as a god.
Yeah, the visual bureaucracy of education. That's the hierarchy. That's the class. A lot of New Agers say life is a school. We reincarnate to learn lessons. You know, that's bullshit under our new situation. No lessons to learn. But that's the old archetype.
Greg, you hit it on the head. That's exactly what I was trying to say. And that's what that video goes through, is all the different things that you have to do to qualify. And then when it doesn't work, you never say the secret doesn't work. You say, I didn't do it right. And that way people keep clinging to it, thinking that if only they could do it right, then it would work for them. But really, it just doesn't work.
Well, I mean, there's obviously many cases of people who would claim, yes, I practiced the secret, and you know, over a 9-month period, I found a $5 bill. So, okay, well, there you go. But, you know, so many people are just really asking for a ham sandwich when they can have the entire franchise. You know, not just
Tuesday,
a ham sandwich
on
for the kitchen.
On Tuesday,
that's right,
the
on a Tuesday.
The other franchises on the other days.
That's right, right. But only on a blood moon of the third week of, yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so Ion's taking a break. So I think I'm going to unmute and let other people respond to Katie and Ginny and Greg. And then I'm going to play my discussion with Ion the other night, me and Carol talking about this Wikipedia stuff, him reading out the Wikipedia, to prepare for when Ion comes back, and then we can go into that topic, okay? So I'm going to let people speak.
All participants are now unmuted.
Muted. You can start speaking to the mortar we've been discussing.
And one thing I wanted to add about the discussion a few Saturdays ago, man's description of God is man's description of man. It's just not possible for man to describe God. It's if you even go through history and look at man's description of God, oh, God was a mean ogre and he would smite you. Well, that was where man's head was at. And even so today, what is God? Oh, God's love and God's this. And so even in this Ionic environment, us describing God as man, how's that going to work?
Yeah, that's right. The collective. That's not, God is not a collective, but that's the effect of speech and media. The
right.
Order world is the idea of group mind and language and cultural conditioning, whereas Ion's breaking that up. So, yeah, the idea of man is a collective illusion. Now, in the non-physical, we're unified, but we created that unity in the non-physical because we couldn't handle being gods in the physical. And there was quite a lot of chaos in the physical, so perceived chaos, so then we made a zone of unity, a box of unity, which is the non-physical and the guff. That was profound.
It was. I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah, see, I'm coming at it from an obtuse angle. I'm on the other side of speech. You know what I mean? I'm not giving a point of view or a truth. I'm playing with your assumptions of what words mean and your cultural bias. That's why you have to rethink what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Now, I've got everybody open, but if you're making noises, I got to mute you. So I can see the red coming out of different people. I'll mute you. So if you think that you're open and you can talk and you can't, we don't hear it, it's because you've been muted. So be quiet as much as possible if you want to speak. Okay, anybody else want to say something to Katie or Greg or Ion, what Ion said? We've got lots of people. We've got a lot of new people, new phone numbers here. Don't be timid. We're nobodies. It doesn't matter what you sound like. We prefer any words at all. We don't even want precise words. That's just dogma. Come in and stumble around and make up stuff, as long as it's words. So, Katie, nobody's responding, so, well, I'll try Doug. Does Doug want to say something? You were making noises, but I've unmuted you. There's a Jamie in England who was making making noises. Let's unmute him. That's a new person. Who's Jamie? You want to speak?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, yeah.
Oh, hi. I was just going to say to Katie, has she seen a film called Kumari?
No, I haven't even heard of it. What is it about?
It's quite funny. It's about a guy who decides to be a guru, well, pretend to be a guru, and he ends up with a big following and stuff. But he visits a law of attraction group somewhere in Texas, I think, and that's quite amusing.
Is it a documentary, Jamie, or fiction?
It's a documentary, a feature-length documentary.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
It's really good, yeah. But the law of attraction people, they're such an... It's quite hilarious how pathetic they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought you might find it interesting to watch as you're interested in The Secret and sort of...
How do you spell that? K-A-T-A-R-I? Qatari?
K-U-M-A-R-E.
Kumari, okay.
It's quite a good... Sorry?
This is where the electric age allows people to be stupid and go around and find things and cults and all that stuff the documentary is made of, because then the mainstream media can make movies and modern media around it, and that generates wealth. So actually, the stupider the population becomes, you get more media that way, because everybody sits around laughing how stupid everybody is. But eventually, what you do will be stupid, and you'll be filmed and presented as something. That happened to Esther Hicks. They started satirizing her, what they perceived The Secret was about, and she got very upset with that. She was not unhurtable on the iconic TV level. So so wealth today is based on all the old visual biases, and they encourage people to be educated so they can be stupid and pretend they're a scientist, and then they shoot themselves in the foot, and then Tina Brown laughs about it on the Daily Beast. Look at Monica Lewinsky. Look at all the media about Monica's reset. That's the word she uses. She's resetting herself. She's trying to be ionic.
Now, Bob, nothing's ionic. We don't call stuff ionic. Come on now.
Oh, no. On Wednesday, during Ginny's show, we are that.
Katie.
Yes.
Hi, Linda here.
Hi.
Hi. You know, I really enjoyed you bringing this up, because that's kind of where I'm at, is transitioning from manifesting to... It hasn't all...
I muted the last few words you said, Linda, by accident. Go ahead, say that last bit again. Are you?
What I said was, I appreciate this, because that's where I'm at right now, is in that transition of coming out of the manifestation to being the creator.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it about the creator, but those biases are really, I don't know, it's really messy.
Well, that's your mind. That's all the mortar and assumptions, cultural conditioning you have. That's why we do Bob Knowledge, to clear out the mortar. You're attracted to the concept of creating, but you got a lot of ideas. It's not that simple just to adopt one idea and dump the other, because creation is not an idea. But you will naturally think it's a new idea and work at it as, okay, I'm going to adopt this new rule, this lay this on my mind, and act it out. It's not that simple.
So make it simple.
Well, you're here. That's all you have to do is be part of my show or Ginny's show. Be part of Iandom. That's all you have to do.
Okay.
Because we're stimulating you. We're inflaming your mind right now, you know, this past hour. And that's what you got to get used to, having your mind inflamed and then understand where it's going to go. So eventually you'll be able to predict what I'm going to say or what I am going to say, and then the effect on you of that.
Well, I do that at times. And it's been about, good 4 years that the manifestation thing to me was obsolete. So coming into payday in the past 3 months things are saying, and my mind is saying, yes.
Yeah, because you're saying 4 years, you knew the concepts of manifestation while I was asleep, but you didn't have anybody talking a new track, a new going past that. We talk past when anybody else talks. We have a lot to say. We have more words to say about anything because we're past any of the concepts and memes and assumptions people have.
Well, it's really great. And my life is Wednesday and Saturdays, you know.
Yeah.
There's not too many people that I can talk to. So I'm absorbing everything that comes up.
Well, that's the first shocker to Iandom or Ionettes, is that they become, in a way, alienated. And that's good to become alienated. That's starting to wear down the group mind effect, the group conditioning. And at first it might be lonely, but you got to go through that. And then you'll find you invent ways to talk. I'm inventing ways to talk on this show. And I have nothing to say, really, or I don't have anything I care to say, but I will invent ways to talk to encourage people to engage in talking. And then they get used to it, and then they actually have a bit of a social life, even though it's on the phone.
Well, I've been alienated for quite a few years, so preparing for you, I guess.
Yeah, you have been, because the most of humanity is most of the mediaized people in North America and the West are alienated. That's what their big dilemma is. That's the Kumari thing, running around looking to solve their alienation. It's a lonely. It's interesting. We were made separate and isolated as literate individuals. Now we're in this electronic tribal thing, and that's alienating. But then most people capitulate and become zombie tribal people. And then they've done that for 30 years, and that's not satisfying. So now they really don't know how to operate their senses. And then
Ian
comes
in
with...
That's the word. I don't know how to operate.
Your senses.
My senses, it's like, well, what do I do?
Right.
Well, and I've noticed, too, with...
Go ahead.
I've noticed with Linda, I don't know if you noticed this with your like old manifestor friends, but they don't seem to want friends. Everybody wants followers, and I don't just mean in social media, but a lot of people who get into this manifestation game then want to teach it or be a forum leader, or you know, it just seems to. A lot of people think they're going to be a star. They want to be a star because of
right.
this. And it doesn't make for...
Now, Katie, here's what that is. That's the Western individual tradition, the writer tradition. If I'm going to have to deal with this tribal mishmash of daily Oprah information flooding over me, I am going to be an individual in it, and I'll grab a little tribe. And so I'll advocate values. I'll be tribally opposed to being tribal. I will be tribal in the electric media. I'm not going to sit around with some old job in an assembly line situation. I'm going to be tribally opposed. I wonder who's making all that noise. It's not muted. Let me just check. Is that it's not Mark? Who's got that crap coming through here? Be aware of your environment here. That's another part of awareness, that you're projecting, unless you're trying to be irritating. It looks like it's Jamie. Okay, I'll mute Jamie. So this tribally opposed, all these wannabes are wannabe individuals. Don't want to work for tribal corporations anymore. They still need individual, quote, money. So it's an individual society. So they will lead a tribe and propagate non-tribe values. They'll try to retrieve Gnostic individualism or being a god or something. You get that, Katie, or anybody? They
totally
are tribally opposed. Yeah, tribally opposed, using tribal media. To being tribal. Huge, huge environmental hypocrisy there. Not conceptual hypocrisy. That's the hypocrisies people don't care about anymore. They're wrestling with the media hypocrisy of which environment they're going to use, which extensions of their senses they're going to use. And they don't know the implications of each one of those environments. So what I'm saying is the most advanced talk one can get with the English language right here. I'm incorporating all the complexities that people live. And you name a phenomenon like, yes, everybody wants to be a coach. Everybody wants to tell something else something, because nobody wants to receive verbal information anymore. They want to dispense it cynically and make money from it. And that won't work, because everybody can catch on to that. The new opiate of the working class is be a coach, a life coach.
It is.
And they'll
it
call
sure
that
is.
Being a god. They'll call that taking your power. But you're just doing it... you're following a rearview mirror, the analog digital era, by default. You're not even analog, not digital, the analog electric media by default.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep, that's it. Well, summarize
that's,
again
that's really,
concisely.
You're right again. And it's that's even really prevalent in physical culture, too, because all that, the P90X and all that kind of stuff, that's by this company called Beachbody, and they try to get me to be a Beachbody coach.
Yeah, you go from being a misfit to a millionaire. And there's the archetype.
Yeah, you do.
How I went from
you
a
do.
Misfit to a millionaire. That's the same.
This man just laughed. You knew.
Yeah, that's the stereotype.
Oh, Bob.
And it,
yeah.
Bob.
And, yes.
Can I give you this scenario that I live And
who's speaking?
Linda.
Linda.
Linda. I was just.
But
speaking.
There's. But who's the one with the raspy voice who was speaking? I thought that was Linda.
It changes all the time.
Oh, this is the same person. Okay.
Yeah. I think I told you my voice changes all the time.
Quadrophenia. Good.
So anyway, maybe this will help me between manifestation and creation. Okay. About 15 years ago, I ended up on this mountain. I was living there with someone. That didn't work out, but I was stuck on this mountain. My closest neighbor was 5 miles away. I hauled my own water. I ran off a generator. I went down 30 miles, 60 miles a day to go to work. Penny to penny, did it for 5 years. I was on this mountain at the top where I could stand there and nobody was around me. I was at
right.
the very top. All right, so I'm sitting there and I'm feeling like Job. And I'm saying, what is this? You know, okay, at that time it was God. Either help me get provide a way to stay here, do it well. Give me something. I didn't know what to do. One day, I got really pissed off. And I was on the hill. I went outside, and I said, this is it. Either provide a way, or this is what I want. I want to be 5 minutes away from work. I want hot running water. I want a decent place. I actually said I want to pay $400 rent, which was unheard of at that time.
Yeah.
And I said, or I want $1 million to develop this hill. So I go to work the next day, and I worked in a hospital environment. I did housekeeping. I did cleaning. And I floated to different departments. So I sit down, I'm taking a break, and there's a little paper there, a little community paper. And I open it up, and I'm looking at it, and it says, needed apartment manager. And I for some reason, I just honed in on this. I had done that 20 years ago, and I called these people up, and wrote a big letter of how great I thought I was, and got an appointment, went in, talked to this gal. She told me where the apartment was, very nice area, 7 minutes away from work, beautifully running water, and she's looking at me, it's 20 units, and she's saying, What do I wanna charge you? She says $400 would be what my rent would be. The unit was worth about $900. So I'm just looking at her, and everything that I had said that I wanted in that fit of anger was happening.
Right, you declared it.
I declared it. I said, Shit or get off the pot, you know, to God. But actually, it was to myself, but I don't think I really knew that.
No, you had the wrong imagery. You were yelling out to something. You didn't know just your words. They didn't have to yell out. They just had to say, you know. But you were yelling out to God, to some deity on the horizon. That's visually biased. But by default, you still got it.
So what was I doing? Was I manifesting or was I creating?
I was, you were creating, but you had all kinds of manifestation concepts in your mind's imagery. But that didn't stop it. You just said it, which is what Ion says to do. Just
so is
declare
that,
it.
Creating by default or kind of accidental creation?
Yes, yeah.
Well, Ion said you created and that was your manifestation.
Right. You could have gotten, you could have changed it. You could have said something else, you know, and got that. But you, you set low goals for yourself. I just want a place that's still thought about working. I just want to be closer to work, you know, and I want to be around people and utilities and have water. So you set very low goals for yourself or declared the desire of those environments.
Well,
but you could have said something more dramatic.
Well, I, you know, not knowing at that time it could happen, but I really didn't want to work at that job, even though it was good money and it was what keeping me going.
But you were beat down that you had to, you thought you had to compromise with an external outer kingdom. We said, okay, I'm going to have to keep working, but I have to be closer. So that's all you wanted.
Once I got into that place, and it started experiencing hot water on demand, that I also thought, you know, I just don't want this job. So I don't have that job anymore. I do have a retirement from it, and I have 20 units that I've really created a good tenants. I do a little ritual each before I have a rental. People don't want to move from here. So the type of work I do is really minimal. So now what am I going to do?
Well, it's not enough now. It should not be enough.
It's not.
Yeah. Well, that's why you're here, to learn how to say and get more.
Yeah, the only thing I'd add to that is, you know, I heard you describe you saying those words on your mountain in anger, but it just sounded like the energy you had focused what it was you wanted.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't anger. It was passionate.
Very good. Good word, Bob.
That's how I think I got here to the past 4 months and the RNA. Because it's real interesting. I had, when I first seen the RNA, I first seen it on, when I was looking at magnesium. And when I went to, I guess it was Matthew's site, I couldn't order it. I couldn't order it from, there was something about him. Now I'll use the word energy, because that's the word I know.
Yeah,
I just couldn't do it. The pit of my stomach, everything. And I, you know, I think it was a month later, I came across Jenny. So I ordered the sample from Jenny.
Now, you know, that's it. That's an important point. Ian talks about this. People have their rules. You want to sell something to somebody, you got to adapt to their rules, their biases, their expectations, their value system. You won't give in and accept a gift unless it matches your social values, your social biases of what that image is coming at you from. So
in sales, Bob, the translation of what you just said is people buy from people. So if you like somebody, you'll buy from them. If you don't like somebody, same thing, but that's just an easier way to say it maybe, is she didn't like Matthew.
Yeah, it's buying stuff is an act of communication. That's part of what McLuhan was talking about. It's
very, very good,
important.
Absolutely.
Everything,
yes, it is.
That, it, life is communication all the time. You're talking, expressing yourself. And when you start to know the dynamics, that's becoming learned or sophisticated or biased. Nowadays, it's best not to have any of these concerns and rules because you're going to confront so many differences, you don't want your rules interrupting you. So we could say it worked out for Linda, but we could say, Linda, well, you had a bias, and you thought the guy had to be spiritually right, so you missed out the drops for a couple of months. You know what I mean? You didn't have those value judgments.
I never thought of it as far as the spiritual right for him. It's just that when I first watched a couple of his videos, and I caught myself on it, you know? Well,
yeah.
Is it the product or is it what's going on here? It wasn't the product. It's that I could not.
I know, it was his environment. He was communicating beyond his words. His words were telling you this is why you should get it, but his being was communicating more than his words, and it repulsed you.
It did. That's the word. It repulsed me. So,
And that's the little man. The little man has values. That's the mind. He projects. He wants people to be like them. You have values, and that's normal for the little person. But when you get like me, you'll talk to anybody. You'll accept shit from anybody.
Well, what came to my mind, I don't know about that. It's going to be a while for me because I don't often get that. And often if I like something, I can go past that. But it was so strong. But it led me to Jenny because, I couldn't come into that.
Right, so you had the solution. You were going to get the solution. What had you declared a year or so ago to make sure that you would get to Ginny and get the drops? What what you said?
I think what I said was it was through Carolyn's site first that I got in touch with the RNA. But I wasn't even looking at that. Right? At that time, it was just the magnesium. It all made sense. And I could feel, I guess, my prejudice again. I could feel the truth. And so then after a month, then I started looking at the RNA. Still thinking, this is too crazy, too good to be true, too unreal. All that stuff, but there was that inner knowing. What do you got to lose? Try it.
Yeah.
But you can't see.
What did you say to get you to Carolyn's site? What were you declaring a year ago that allowed this to enter your awareness?
Oh, I think what it was, like most of the things. All right, doctors aren't working. There's something else. I want it now. I there was a time in my life where whatever I said I put out that I needed, it would come to me, whether it was literally a book falling on my head, or I think when I first talked to you, a flyer on my window sill that took me in that direction. So once I stated that and wasn't buying into what my doctors were saying, I started claiming that this is, you know, I want to know what. I tried many different things. And
so
I think,
you were saying this all the time then. You were frustrated. You were complaining, talking to yourself, fuck these doctors. I got to get something better. Stuff like that, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's what led to you. That worked.
But there was a knowing, you know, there was a knowing that what I was seeking was real. I knew that. I knew that when I would just stare in a doctor's face. I mean, maybe 23 prescriptions and I'd take two of them. You know?
Right.
I would just go ahead.
It's interesting that you actually knew there was something more. A lot of people don't know that. they don't feel that there's something better than what the doctor's offering.
Oh, I've always had that knowing.
That's why you end up in the mountain.
God, what a dirty.
Okay, so look, I want to play us talking about Wikipedia with Ian before Ian comes back. Does anybody have something pressing to say? Thank you, Linda, for that testimonial. That's very understandable. Maybe Mark has something to say. I'll unmute Mark. You have something to say, Mark?
All I wanted to say on that, on the law of attraction, Ian says that when you want something, you repel it. And I was listening to Linda, and she said there's a lot of things that she didn't want, like the mountain and the trip, and maybe that triggered it. Because if she said that she wanted it, wouldn't that repel it?
If you said you wanted it, yes.
No, it's more the need word.
If you want it out of need, you feel that it's almost impossible to get it, and you'd be so delighted to get it and not notice the disservices of getting it. You didn't think it's going to solve everything. It's like a kind of death will send me into bliss. That's the erroneous way to do it, to declare you're wanting.
Out of need.
Out of need.
Well, it worked.
No, you didn't do it. You did it out of anger. That was better, out of passion.
Well, what does it matter? I got off the hill. I got into a very good place. I got into a very good
Well, it matters, place. And you're making a lesson out of it. That's why there's the matter part of it. That's why we wouldn't even talk about it if it didn't matter. So it's mattering to you or for us to pay attention to you.
Oh.
You had
great
something to
story.
Say.
It mattered.
Yeah, it's your story.
I loved hearing it.
That was good.